Years ago, I did a sermon, a series of sermons called, they were titled For You, By You, In You, Of You, so forth and so on, just going through the scriptures. And there's one message that has been coming back to me of late, and it's the before you scriptures, both of the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, he said, when they didn't know what he was talking about, he says the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of sinners, crucified and buried. He said on the third day, he's going to rise again, and I will go before you into Galilee. He told him, I will go before you. That's a New Testament reference. There are plenty, just the Old Testament is full of before you references where God declares, particularly in coming out of Egypt, going to the promised land, he says, I will go before you. I will send my angel before you into the promised land. And he says, matter of fact, at one point when David was in a battle with the Philistines, and God told him, he says, wait until you hear the rustling of the mulberry trees. And when you hear that, then go out to battle. Because when you hear the rustling of the mulberry trees, the angels have gone out before you. And that's the way you want to fight all your battles. Okay. Now, not only is that how you want to fight all your battles, but you ready for this? That is how all your battles are set up right now. Okay, wait for that to sink in. Pause, digest. What are you saying? I'm saying that if the old covenant was a lesser covenant, we're in the new covenant, and God went before his people in the old covenant, what's happening in the new? So what I'm saying is this, that your Monday morning, God has already gone out before you. Listen, before anything happens to you, God is already in front of you. He said to Moses when the people didn't have any water to drink, Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord said, go stand upon the rock. He says, I'm going to be before you. I'm going to go stand there before you. And when you smite the rock, water is going to come out the rock. I would go through all the scriptures if I had them all in front of me. I don't. But what I'm saying is, when David got up and before his day even started, God is already there, church. He's already there. Here's the part that prayer does. And this is why prayer is so important. Prayer, and I turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 20. You know the passage with Jehoshaphat and there's these armies coming against him. And Jehoshaphat goes into the temple and he prays to the Lord. He says, Lord, aren't you the one who brought the children of Israel out of Egypt? Haven't you done all these great things? And is it in your name that we go to battle? And you know the story. When he got finished praying, the Levites and the priests got to worshiping God. And the scripture says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. And Jehaziel prophesied and says, he says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Because the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Now, here is what I want us to see. God has already gone out before us each and every day. It doesn't matter what arises in your day. Doesn't matter what happens. God has already gone out before you. What prayer does is prayer is you saying, God, I recognize that you are out in front of me. Help me, Lord, then. Help me. Give me strength. What happened with Jehoshaphat? Well, the prophets got up and they prophesied and said, send out the worship team before the army. And they went out and began to praise the name of the Lord, for his mercies are good, for his mercies endure forever. And the Lord routed the enemy. And so prayer, this wonderful gift that I was talking about earlier, is what God has given you and I to acknowledge him. Doesn't Proverbs 3 says that we're to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways and he shall direct our path? Right? And so as we, the place, listen, God has gone out before us, but prayer is what we're to do to recognize and to acknowledge his presence, and because he wants to answer the prayers of his people. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. And so I just started reading through the book of Judges, and every time the children of Israel would do evil in the sight of the Lord would raise up judges. But you know when the children of Israel started to have victory against their enemies? Always after this. And it says, that the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They cried out. Hello, let me tell you something. Life is such that you will be doing a lot of crying out. Hello? I see every head in here shaking. And if yours isn't shaking, don't worry. Hang on. You're going to get there. Because life, and bar none, no one's exempt. You will find yourself. Life is such that it will drive you to the place of crying out to God. And yet that is exactly what God's waiting for. Well, why is he waiting for that? God, you know I need help. Why are you waiting for it? He said, well, listen, I know all things. The problem with knowledge is not me. It's you. Hello? The problem with, come on, God knows it all. But when we go through life and we never have to cry out to God for anything, hello, that's not the Christian life. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And the sooner we learn that, the more we stay in his presence. We remain on our face. We're constantly, our spirit is constantly crying out to God. I told you before, I'll tell you again, every day before I leave my office, and I'm going into some customers, I've been doing cleaning for 20 years, so I know them. That's all good, but I tell you what I don't know. I don't know what's about to happen that day. And so before I go, I say, Father, I thank you that you are already standing where I'm headed. I thank you, oh God, that with each one of my customers, that you go before me and you order my steps in your word and you order what comes out of my mouth. Help me, Lord. And acknowledging his presence. And then when we, out throughout the day like we did on Thursday or whenever it was, the text came, would you please pray for so-and-so? They're wrestling with this in their body. We have prayers from Maryland with David's situation. Pray because this and that and all of this. And when you know God has gone before you, guess what? You pray with confidence. You pray with assurance. You pray with the disposition that you know what the will of God is. You know what the will of God is. And so I'm praying for David when the text came, Father, that he would overcome evil with good. Lord, that he would bless those who curse him. I'm praying Luke 6:27 over him. I'm just praying the word of God over him. Because why? Because God has revealed to us his will, and that the devil wouldn't steal from him what God has been building for 26 years, namely his name. Because your name means something. I haven't preached this sermon yet. I feel it coming up. I got a sermon in me about your name. I'm telling you, your name means something. Your name absent your presence is who you are. Your name absent your presence is who you are. It's your character. It's everything people know about you. And when someone says your name, what do they say? What when someone says your name, what do people think about? God told David, he says, I'm going to make you a name like the name of the great men in the earth. I'm going to make you a name. God is in the business of making names. But guess what? So are you and I. Because I keep telling you, God first. He's always first. He'll make you a name. But guess who else will make you a name? You will. What do we want that to be? Right? The scripture reads, 2 Chronicles 20, it had happened after this that the people of Moab came with the people of Ammon and others, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, what's interesting to me is this. When Jehoshaphat heard that there was a multitude of armies coming against him, it did not say that he immediately began to count his and muster his army together to get ready for battle. The scripture says that Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. This is the equivalent of someone getting into what happened last week with David and Marilyn and some others. Some folk not even going to church here any longer, but they still, folk know people who pray. They know folk who pray. And when times get tough and times get rough, it don't matter if you come here or not. Folk going to get in contact with folk that they know pray. Why? Because prayer changes things. Things happen when you pray that don't happen when you don't pray. And so this is the equivalent of the persons when they get word. The first thing they did was send out a text and said, hey, y'all, would you please pray for me? It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And so that's what Jehoshaphat does. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. This is how it's done, church. This is how it ought to happen. When you and I, and Grant, listen, tomorrow I'm going to go to work. I got a little bit of work to do, but there's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I'm telling you right now, something's going to rise up in your day. Something is going to confront you that you don't have the wherewithal to deal with. You weren't expecting. You had no clue. But there it is in front of you. But I mean to tell you that just as sure as that circumstance and that situation is standing in front of you, God is standing before it. And if we could just say, oh, Lord, I thank you that this is no surprise to you. I thank you, oh, God, that he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. Listen, he doesn't have to go to sleep the way we do. He doesn't get up in the morning and all surprised because something happened during the night he didn't know anything about. That's how we wake up. Hello. As he doesn't sleep. And so he is standing before every circumstance and every situation about which you are going to be engaged through, not only through tomorrow and the next day, but throughout your life. Throughout your life. And so Jehoshaphat stood. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Man, I love that. From all the people said, we're going to seek God, Pastor. We're going to seek God, O King. We're going to come together. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the midst of the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, our God, Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And listen at what he begins to do. He begins to acknowledge. Now, these people are coming against him. The scripture says they're in Jerusalem. They are coming against them in Jerusalem and in Israel. But he says, are you not God in heaven? In heaven over what? Over everything. He begins to acknowledge who God is and that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All the people and everything that dwells therein belongs to the Lord. So he says, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And right there, he's mentioning the nations who are about to come against him in battle. Don't you rule over them, O Lord, and in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? This is why you want to walk with God, because if they can't withstand God, like we said on Tuesday night, I was telling the gentleman here, boy, we had prayer Tuesday night. I mean, you know, the Bible says that one will chase 1,000. Two will put 10,000 to flight. Well, then that means that three will put 100,000 at least. And four, 1 million or more. And when we were here and praying, man, I can tell you that sometimes you know that what you were praying, you know that the will of God was being done. And man, we just interceded and prayed. And it was just a fabulous time of encouragement and prayer. And I believe the will of God was done in those requests. And we continue to pray because prayer is not a one-time thing, as you know. And so he says, are you not our God? So he starts with God in general. Are you not God of our fathers, God in heaven? And he goes on and says, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land? So he gets more specific, before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever. And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. There is that part again. We will cry out to you in our affliction. As I said earlier, every one of us has affliction. If you don't have it, hang on. It's on its way. And the Ecclesiastes, I forget the reference, the exact reference. But it says, in the day of prosperity, rejoice, but in the day of adversity, consider. Because God has set the one over against the other, so that man would not be able to find out what comes after him. But days of adversity are coming. That's life. But notice how it happens. He says, if disaster comes upon us, or what we could better say, when disaster comes, and we cry out, and we will stand in this temple. Where's the temple of God now? It's not over in Jerusalem. It's right here, right? Okay. And cry out to you in our affliction. That's prayer. I'm applying this, making a New Testament application of this Old Testament scripture. You will hear and save. That's what God does. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. He acknowledged the fact. He acknowledged what Jesus said in the New Testament, without me you can do nothing. He acknowledged what the prophet Zechariah said, is not by might, is not by might, nor by power, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by human strength. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon Woo, God. Jesus. How many of you, when you get in trouble, you know exactly what to do? Hold on, I know exactly. No, you don't. I certainly don't. I get in, there'll be times, and I've shared stories with you about, you know, what happens when I'm just in cleaning carpet. I mean, things happen. You say, how can cleaning carpet, how can God, you not know what to do with cleaning carpet? Oh, plenty of things can happen when you're cleaning carpet. And I'll just give you one that happened to me years ago. It's happened since then. And but the first time it happened, I prayed. I said, oh, Lord, please help me. I don't know what to do. And, well, you know that toner, ink cartridges, ink is one thing. Toner is dry. Ink is wet. Toner is dry. Well, when toner is dry and it gets on the carpet, you can't see it. But if you come in and you spray your pre-spray down and you're going to clean the carpet, and you're cleaning a light gray carpet, and you spray, and then the whole carpet turns blue. Okay, there's trouble here. And I found myself, I jumped back and said, oh, God, oh, Lord, help me. I'm like, now I know what's happened. I know what's going on. I see, okay, something was here. I couldn't see it. It was dry. When I wet it, it turned blue. Now what needs to happen is I need to get the blue out. That's what needs to happen. And that was 20-some years ago. But then it just happened a couple months ago. It happened again. And I told the customer, I said, now I want you to see something here. Look at this. They're like, what's that? I'm like, well, yeah, that's something y'all did. You, yeah. It was right near the printing. I said, you have to be careful with this stuff. You can't do this, right? So now that's on a much lesser note, right? But I mention it because I know what Jehoshaphat means when he says, nor do we know what to do. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And, you know, when Marilyn was telling us last week, what was going on with my brother. It's like you could feel the warfare. Man, I just knew he was in a battle. And the scripture says that, you know, our warfare isn't against flesh and blood. You know, the woman isn't the problem, and his boss isn't the problem. They're tools, now they're being used, but they're not the problem. And so you have to deal with it that way. It's a spiritual problem, which means we need to go to God in prayer. What we just got finished singing with, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit when we don't take it to God in prayer. And so prayer is the first order of business when we encounter confrontation, a struggle, an obstacle. Verse 13 says, now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude. And someone would say, are you serious, God? You really don't want to be afraid? Yes. Well, yeah, he's serious. So this week, when that problem occurs and steps up and is staring you right in the face, God says, don't be afraid. Why? Because he's bigger than your problem and he's standing in front of your problem. Hello? We just need to go to him. God, fix our hearts. Fix our hearts such that when we encounter the struggle, that the first place we go to is on our knees in prayer. The first place we go is to you in prayer. He says, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by. And then Jehaziel gives this incredible word of knowledge concerning tomorrow. And I'm sure all of us would love to have a word like this concerning the battle that we face. Go down against them. They will surely come up. He told them where they're coming from. Where are you going to find them? By the ascent of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. That's what we love the most. Now, what he means is you're not going to have to fight physically. Oh, but you're going to fight in prayer. Oh, but you're going to cry out to God in more than one time in this battle. I'm talking about you and I. We're going to pray. Position yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Second time God says this. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So this is my approach to life as I grow older and you learn, you walk with God and you're learning more and more and more. That every day I rise and whatever comes my way is not to fear. I'm just saying, okay, Father, I see it. Now, what are you saying? What's happening here? Does that sound remotely? Did you ever see Jesus in the New Testament? Oh, I don't know. What are we going to do? I can't feed all these people. No. Didn't matter what. When they came to arrest him, he's like, who are you looking for? Jesus Nazareth. I am he. He let the disciples run away. Okay, then let these go. If you're looking for me, let them go. He delivered all his disciples. There was no place in the New Testament where you ever see Jesus afraid, fearing, dismayed, undone, don't know what to do. No, you never see that. Well, that Christ is living in you. So this is what I like to do. When I face a circumstance that's not to my liking, check with him. Check with him. Hello? Is that hard? Is that too hard? No. I mean, it's like, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do? It was like in Acts chapter 9 when Saul got knocked off his horse. And he said, and he heard the voice of Jesus saying, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, against the goats. And he said, what do you want me to do, Lord? Jesus asked, you know, God just knocked him off his horse and all his men off their horses. So check with him. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. There's your worship music, y'all. I hear some ladies like, I'm going to prayer. I'm putting on my worship music, and I hear that. All these things, this is what we do in the New Testament. They worship the Lord. They worshiped him because he is worthy of praise. God's worthy of praise when we're in the battle, when we're out of the battle, on a good day, on a bad day, he's always worthy. But in particular, they're worshiping him here because of the word that they have just received from the prophet. Then the Levites and the children of Israel, of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and on high. Let me say this. I love saying this, and I love repeating this because it's so true. God doesn't need worship. We need worship. What is worship? Worship is declaring what is true about God by revelation. Notice this. The only people who can worship God are people whom God has revealed himself to. Unbelievers do not worship God. Why? Because they don't know who he is, right? But you only know who God is when he reveals himself to you. The outflow of him revealing who he is to you is worship. Now, God doesn't need worship, but we need worship. Worship is declaring the truth about who he is. You and I need to do that. You and I need to not hear it, although hearing it has an effect on you. We need to be involved in it, because something happens to you and I when we declare the truth about who God is. Something happens to us. When we say you are strong, you are mighty, you are holy, you are righteous and pure and just and true. When we say all these things, something happens on the inside of us. And so here, we have the Levites, the children of the choir, they began to worship God with voices loud and on high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And we had consulted with the people. He appointed those who should pray, who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come out against Judah, and they were defeated. They were defeated. And so what Jehoshaphat simply did was to acknowledge who God was in the beginning of the obstacle, beginning of the struggle, the warfare that he was going into. And because he did that, God showed himself strong on his behalf. Now, every day, you and I deal with varying degrees of problems and situations. Some of them are spiritual in nature. In other words, there's a real spiritual battle going on. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we need to give ourselves to prayer. We need to give ourselves to declaring the voice of Scripture and what says the Lord. But we need to acknowledge God in all of our ways. And as we do that, I believe we're going to see, first of all, we're going to have victory, but we're going to have peace in the midst of the storm. We're going to have peace. Amen. How many of you believe God is before you, gone out before you? How do you believe that every day he has gone out before you even get up out of your bed? And the reason why you can get up out of your bed is because he done gone before you. But he is out there in front of you. When Loretta was going through what she's going through at work and all that, and I remember Dolores years ago, Dolores would come in and stand and just back in the church and just weep, just cry, just doing the worship, just weep. And sometimes all she could do is weep, and then she'd leave. And she did that for months, just come in and just stand there and just weep, weep, weep. And then finally she came and would be in prayer, and we'd say, you know, what's the prayer need? And she would talk about the prayer need. We would pray and pray and pray. And then her day of deliverance came. Amen. God was with Israel in the Old Testament. But God's not just with us. He's in us. He's in us. And what, like I've told you before, when I enter some of these things, he says, do you trust me? Oh, man. Son, do you trust me? And the answer always has to be, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If he brought, listen, here's another way to look at your battles. If the Lord brought you to it, finish it. He gonna take you through it. Come on. There's nothing that he allows to stand in front of you that he does not have every intention of either taking you through it, over it, but he's going to get you through it. Amen. That's who he is. For his glory and for our good. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you have gone before us in every circumstance and in every situation. Lord, before we hear the evil report, Lord, whether we're in the midst of it, oh God, or coming out, Father, I thank you that your presence is undeniable. Lord, your power is all powerful, oh Lord, and that there is nothing that you cannot do. I thank you that everything you bring us to, you intend to take us through. And I pray, oh God, that we would simply, Lord, be faithful to acknowledge who you are in the midst of every battle, that there's nothing that you cannot do. Lord, that we are powerless, neither do we know what to do. Therefore, our eyes are upon you. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus in the midst of every storm. Lord, that we might declare victory, that we might testify as our brother just did, Lord, over and over and over again, because you are a God who does not fail. We give you thanks for it now in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.